Charlie's on the move. Charlie, oh yes!
Screws the ball around the corner. Oh, it's a goal! Incredible start from Daniel Bradshaw.
He's got it. Brisbane have won. Bailey's kicked the goal. The dream comes true.
There it is. The Brisbane Lions have done it. The Hawks, the Bombers, the Crows. They couldn't do it in the 80s and the 90s. But the Lions have gone back to back to back.
It's the Brisbane Lions Fancast, back for a little podcast this week. It's just JB with you. Patrick's going to have the week off. He came down quite ill after the grand final, unfortunately. Thankfully, I managed to survive it. Maybe all those daycare germs have given me some sort of super immunity. But it's just me for you this week. Going to have a quick look at the AFLW, not just the game just gone, but I guess the season as a whole, get a little bit more in-depth into things going on with the ladies. A little bit of sort of trade and free agency news that's been floating around over the last week or so. And I was also given the task to create the all-time best 22-plus sub for the Lions, which I suppose feels like a big task, so I did put some parameters in. And I will get to that later on in the show, and then next week I'll ask Patrick for his thoughts on that one as well. And then we're going to do a full season review on the men's season as well, and move on from there and just sort of do some sporadic episodes over the next couple of weeks while the ladies' season's still going before we take a break across sort of November, December, and we'll be back early next year as the footy starts to amp up again.
Geez, every metric under the sun, we've won on the night. Apart from that third quarter. So they've out-pressured us in that third quarter, and there's your game for you. Like, we've had 19 shots at goal to their 8, and we haven't won the game. So we've had the ball in our front half 65% of the night and not won the game. So that's pretty unusual in a game of footy.
All right, well, let's start with another heartbreak. How good is losing to Collingwood by single-digit margins? Because that's the second time in a week that's happened. The ladies go down to Collingwood by 5 points at Brighton Homes Arena on Saturday afternoon. Started off all right. In fact, two goals straight, and then it all sort of came undone. Absolutely dominated the second quarter, but could put only 1.6 on the board, which left them with a sniff. And since then, no more goals, but put on only 4 behinds in the second half as Collingwood just steadily but surely just managed to kick straight. Ended up with 5.3, 3.10 is what it's all ended up with there. You could hear Craig Starcevich and just more how we lost that game rather than Collingwood winning it, but their third quarter was exceptional. It was a very, very physical game from the start, and the ladies were up for the fight, took it to Bree Davey a couple of times, and she actually went down with some pretty sore parts of her body across the game, and the usual plays stood up. Low possession game across the board, Ali Anderson leading all comers, but only with the 24, had a shot on goal towards the end of the game to hopefully nudge us in front, but like most of her teammates, could only manage the behind. Tay Smith, 0.3 for the day, including a couple of hitting the posts, which was a real buzzkill across the day. But Collingwood, an even team performance across the day. Sarah Rowe was their leading disposal getter, and she was pretty instrumental in their attack across halfback. She had almost 500 metres gained across the day. Bree Davey, again, fantastic, and Britt Bonici, no matter where she popped up on the ground, she was fantastic as well. For the Lions, yeah, Ali Anderson, as I mentioned, she led all comers disposal-wise, but to Ola O'Dwyer, Sophie Conway, and Bree Cunnan all put in big games. Nat Grider on her 50th, a fantastic effort, and so was Courtney Hodder. She was popping up, as she loves to do, down in the forward half. A couple of regular members of the starting lineup missing this week for disciplinary actions.
Oh, look, just not meeting our professional standards as a group. You know, that's it's a take your medicine, move on type moment. But we can't afford to, you know, we're in a tight competition. If you drop your standards, you're going to get hurt one way or the other. And every now and then the team needs a bit of a wake-up call as to what's acceptable and what's not, and that's what happened. So they played the early game today and move on.
Jade Ellinger and Poppy Bolts missing out on their spot this week in a bit of a stance from Craig Starcevich, which I quite like. You know, Stars has managed to take this team to the top four year in, year out. It doesn't matter how many times the list gets pillaged from other clubs, and this year was rather bad, not just losing Emily Bates and Greta Bodie and Jesse Wardlaw. Kate Lutkins is having the year off for personal but exciting reasons for her and her partner, so that's fantastic news, but it has really just left us quite thin. And then add into that Zimi Farquharson, who decided before the season started that this potentially wasn't necessarily for her, so she won't be playing at least for this year. Who knows what her future holds if she's going to come back. And I feel like, you know, Dax Davison has really had to shoulder a lot of the load up forward. I think we were hoping that Zimi could be a little bit more of a key forward type with a little bit more mobility up front as well, but we've had to rely on Tay Smith to do more of that than I think Stas would have hoped, and it means that Talia Hickey is basically just a one-out ruckman and not able to drift forward. But as Stas loves to do what he does, he works with what he can get, and hopefully he can take us back to at least a finals team. I'm not sure that we'll be pushing for a premiership this year, but I think if anyone's going to be able to make a good fist of it, it'll be Craig Starcevich, who's proof that he can certainly do that. Phoebe Monaghan seems to be the sort of last line at defence at the moment, which is not ideal. Shannon Campbell and Bree Conan, obviously stalwarts down there in the back six, but Phoebe often seems to be the last line of defence. And whilst her intent, attitude, and her application is always second to none, just her speed and general footy now, it does let her down from time to time, and I think we found that out a couple of times on the weekend, especially when Collingwood got a real sort of fast break and were able to break over the lines. And once they got past Nack Ryder and Bree Conan and the like, then it was sort of left to Phoebe, and she was left wanting a lot of time. So not necessarily her fault, but I feel like we do need another, you know, bona fide defender while Kate Lutkins is out for the rest of the year. And that sort of let us down a couple of times, not just on the weekend, but I think round one against Richmond as well. We've had the two losses, both at Brighton Homes Arena in our home ground, which is a bit of a shame. But still managed to pull off some good wins against North Melbourne, Hawthorn, and Port Adelaide as well in there. Couple of tough matches on the way, though. We're going down the highway to take on the Suns at Heritage Bank Stadium, who had one of the great wins against Richmond on the weekend. Just a point basically on the siren to seal that. And then we're taking on Adelaide at home in a couple of weeks' time on the 21st of October. And Adelaide seemed to be, yet again, one of the teams to beat. Them and Melbourne, they are by far and away the two best teams, and Adelaide remain undefeated on top of the ladder, which is a little bit scary that they can continue to be what they are. No matter how many premierships they get under their belt, their list doesn't seem to get stripped quite as badly, but maybe that's just me being a little bit sort of blind to the situation as well. I know they lost Aaron Phillips, obviously the big name, to Port Adelaide a couple of seasons ago, but other than that, their list has remained relatively intact, and Anne Hatchard just keeps going from strength to strength up there as well. So that's going to be a tough game in a couple of weeks' time, but we're going to get past the Suns, who are playing some good footy, who have managed to put together a decent list over the last couple of seasons, and are going to be competing quite heavily this season as well. Now, you would imagine that Jade Ellinger is going to come straight back into that lineup and slot herself on a wing, or had a couple of runs through the midfield as well, maybe sort of half-back midfield, as she likes to play, because she has really come a long way in the last couple of years. And whilst I fully agree that it's very appropriate to drop players that aren't meeting the standards when there are others that are absolutely working their backsides off to try and get into the starting lineup, I think we are definitely better with Jade Ellinger in the team. Not 100%. Sure, on Poppy Bolts, haven't seen enough of her to really know whether she is or isn't a regular starting lineup player, but we will see over the next couple of weeks, I would imagine, as well. A couple of that really have come along this season so far. Charlie Mullins, who, you know, I guess none of us had heard of before the season started, she's come along quite well. And Lily Postlethwaite, who has had a wretched run with injury over the last couple of years, and, you know, there'd be other players in a similar position that would have lost their place on an AFLW list because of just, you know, unfortunate circumstances doing a couple of knees. But, and I wasn't 100% sure why we were holding on to her, because I hadn't seen enough of her play, but obviously they knew, because she's come in and really really filled that Greta Bodie hole. Obviously, hasn't got some of the assets in terms of speed, but her footy use and her footy brain is absolutely fantastic, and I think she's only going to get better once she gets a little bit more confidence in her body moving forward. Other than that, I think the starting lineup is more or less settled. There might be a few, you know, chops and changes depending on injuries and suspensions along the way, and I'm sure Dakota Davidson will want to really lift for the next couple of games after having her poorest game for the year on the weekend. And you know, if there's one thing we know about Dax Davidson is that she loves playing footy, she loves getting out there, she loves competing, so she'll be back out there and hopefully putting through a couple of snags on the weekend against the Suns as well.
Make sure you follow us on socials. Just search for BL Fancast.
Now, if we have a look over back to the men's side of the AFL, Lions-wise, Tom Duday has officially selected the Lions to come to, so he's going to be joining us as a free agent. The only other sort of real trade news pertaining to the Lions is that Tom Fullerton has officially requested a trade and he'll be joining Melbourne. Good luck to him. I don't know that he'll necessarily be getting any more game time down at Melbourne. I think they're looking at him as a sort of Grundy replacement. Now, obviously, his skill level in terms of being a ruckman is absolutely night and day compared to Brody Grundy, but he has got a little bit more experience in the forward line, so I think he's going to be a depth player down at Melbourne that may get the occasional game here and there, but even I think Shacky's probably ahead of him in terms of that. But, you know, it'd be good to see him go and do well elsewhere. Reece Matheson is the other one that will probably explore his options. He's basically been told in no uncertain terms from the Lions that he's not going to get offered a contract, so feel free to explore your options and see what you can get, because I'm sure there will be a club that picks him up, and a la Ben Keys will be great to see him slot into a regular 22 position in any other midfield. And I'm sure there's a number of midfields out there in the AFL that would happily have Reece in there, and there'll be another supporter group that will quickly fall in love with Reece and his antics on the field as well. Zorko looks like he's going to get another year extension, and obviously the big news as well that Dev Robertson decided that he was going to stick with the Lions and sign a 2-year deal. Now, say, you know, fantastic news for us, but I think it's a pretty shrewd decision from Dev as well. He obviously had a 4-year deal in front of him from the Eagles, and he very easily could have taken that, probably worth a bit more money as well, and he would have got, you know, guaranteed games, probably 24 rounds of the year. But you know, he's decided that he wants to stick it out and challenge himself for a position in the Lions midfield, and he's got the first half of the year to do so while Will comes back from his knee, so he can really solidify his spot. Who knows if Zorks is going to be playing week in, week out next year, or if it may end up like a Daniel Rich situation where he not drops out of the team, because I think his skill level's probably still a little bit too good for that. But I can't see him playing each and every week, especially with his body over the last couple of years. It has let him down a couple of times, so who knows what's going to go on there. But Dev has chosen that he's going to stick around, and hopefully he can solidify his spot by the time Will comes back. There's room for both of them in that team. If not, you know, at the very least, I can see Dev playing that sub role that Jared Lyons has played for most of the 2023 season. I think he'll probably have a greater impact, especially with a little bit more experience under his belt as well. And then it's only 2 years. You know, there's the chance to, you know, while we're still in the window, potentially play another grand final, hopefully play in a premiership or two. And then if he still wants to go home, if the allure is still there and the offers are still there from the Eagles, he can do so. When West Coast, you'd imagine, have to be a little bit more competitive as well. So I think he's played it well there. He hasn't signed his life away. He's not, you know, doing a 5-6 year deal with us, because we're offering too many of those at the moment, if you ask me. Duday in 5 years at $3 million, probably a little bit overs, but he's a long-term prospect, and obviously Froggies can only survive on 1 year deals for so long, so I think he's going to be a great get, and hopefully he can come back from that knee and play some really good footy. Although I did read somewhere that Danny Daly is probably not expecting him to come back until sort of round 15, round 16. That seems like quite a long way, but I'm not 100% sure. I can't really remember when Tom did his knee, so hopefully we can get him back on the park sooner rather than later when that comes to that. If not, we've obviously got Froggy that can obviously fill that spot, and you know, Darcy Gardner's there, and Jack Payton will be back in that regular lineup as well. So our key back depth is once again a little bit more healthy. We've got a number of people to choose from there as well, with Jared Joyce running around in the twos as well. He's he's always there to call on, and we've extended his contract as well. So that pretty much wraps trade and free agency news up as far as the Lions are concerned for the moment. There's still time, obviously. Who knows what's going to pop up over the next week or 2 weeks. And, you know, there's always something that pops up that blows people away. And I guess for the moment, Clayton Oliver is one of those names that popped up last week for 48, 72 hours where everyone sort of thought, whoa, what's going on here? But turns out he's going to be staying at Melbourne, and, you know, good luck to him there if he can fix up a few attitudinal problems. He's obviously one of the best players in the competition. Taylor Adams is probably the biggest surprise so far, who will be heading off to Sydney, joining Brody Grundy, his mate James Jordan, and it looks like Joel Hamling has joined there as well. So Sydney making some big moves so far in free agency and trade period, so they're looking to get back up into the eight real quick, as Sydney loves to do. They don't like to flounder too long. The other big names floating around, Xavier Dersma, looks like he might be heading to Essendon as part of that Brandon Zirk-Thatcher trade. Zach Fisher and Paddy Dow from Carlton looking for some better opportunities elsewhere. Zach Fisher looks like he'll be going to North Melbourne, and Paddy Dow joining potentially St Kilda. Jack Billings, his name sort of pops up this time every year as well, so he's obviously on the market. He may be joining someone. Liam Henry will be going to St Kilda. Dylan Stevens has also requested a trade out of Sydney. He'll be joining North Melbourne. So, you know, I've only seen Dylan Stevens play a couple of games, which is probably why he wants to get out, because he's not getting regular game time at Sydney. I think he'll fit that Kangaroos lineup pretty well. So the Roos are making some moves as well. They're getting a few players in through the door through trade period. They've obviously got a few draft picks up their sleeve as well, if they've been gifted from the AFL. So hopefully it means we can get a slightly more competitive North Melbourne over the next couple of years. Obviously, Alistair Clarkson will be back full time, and, you know, a couple of players through the door, a couple of, you know, young talented players to join them as well through the draft. Another year into Wardlaw and Sheasel as well. I think the next sort of 3 years with LDU still leading the charge there, I think they'll be a pretty good team, actually. I think they'll be pushing for the eight quicker than a lot of people think. You know, it's just their key defensive posts. If they can land someone there of a high caliber, then they really will be pushing it. They've obviously got Larky up forward, and Zerha can create some damage. So North making the right moves to get themselves off the bottom of the ladder. So well done to them. Obviously, in the next 7, 10, 14 days, however long the trade period goes for, it's always way too long, and all the deals only ever get done in the last sort of 3 hours of trade. So that will all play itself out. And by the time we come back next week, there'll be much more moves, not just in place, but ones that would have already happened as well. So hopefully we'll have some updates for you there, especially when it comes... Well, actually, no, you know what? I'm happy to play it pretty quiet when it comes to this trade period. We signed the guys that we wanted to sign. You know, Dev Robbs obviously signed that contract, extended some contracts from, you know, the guys like Kenny McKenna. Now we just need to work on getting Hugh McCluggage another deal before he comes out of contract at the end of next year, and I think we'll all be sewn up. We just need to secure some draft picks to land Levi Ashcroft in next year's draft, and, you know, I think we'll still be in the window for a couple of years' time, as Fags so rightly put over the last week or so. So something to look forward to. It's always an interesting period, trade and draft period, to see what you can do with your list to take yourself to the next step, and we've only got that one step to take, so only a few little holes we need to plug and a few little things we need to tinker with, and I'm sure the boys will, well, I'm hoping the boys will be in for a huge off-season and pre-season, because they came so close and a few of them let themselves down on the big day. So if we can fix up a few things, we'll be right back up there again.
Get in touch anytime. Shoot us an email at blfancast@gmail.com or join the Discord.
Now, I did receive a challenge from Liam on our Discord channel, which you can join at any time if you just look for BL Fancast, or if you go to any of our socials, the links are all there for any of our channels, including our Discord channel. Liam said that he wanted us to put together an all-time Brisbane Lions 22, including sub. Now, I sort of went for post-2000s players, so it was basically, what it ended up being was the 01 to 03 team with a few little additions from guys in the regular lineup at the moment. So it was basically largely 01 to 03 with a few of today's players just sort of slotted in. A couple of them are in on potential, so by the time they finish their career, I think they'll definitely be in that. But it is basically just the 01 to 03 with a couple of today's players just plugged in to make an all-time 22. And I'll chuck this up on our socials so you can all have your say. And I'm sure I'm forgetting someone along the line. And the key forwards is probably where I had the most trouble really solidifying that second key forward. And I'm not sure that I'm overly happy with it in the end anyway. So anyway, let's go from the back. Our back six, Brandon Stasevic is one from today's era that's slotting in with Harris Andrews at your fullback and Chris Johnson as your other back pocket. Now, Stas is in based on the fact that he's only been in there for, 4 or 5 years now. And I think by the time that his career does finish up, he'll be one of our better small defenders. He already is, I guess, at the moment. So I think by the time he wraps things up, he will have truly earned that spot. But I think he's done enough at the moment to get in there. Daniel Rich at one halfback, Justin Leppage at your centre halfback, and Daryl White as your other halfback flank. Across the middle, we got Nigel Lappin and Hugh McCluggage as your wings, and big Michael Voss in the centre as your captain. Hard to argue with any of that right now, I would have thought. Across your half forward, you've got Jason Akermanis as one half forward, big John O'Brown as your centre half forward, and Dane Zorko as your other half forward. Into your full forward line, Charlie Cameron and Craig McRae as your forward pockets, and this is where I had the struggle. I've gone Alistair Lynch as our full forward, but I really think that Joe Danaher can be that full forward. So he's in there as an asterisk, and if I do this again next year or even the year after, then I think that probably will be Joe Danaher's spot. The other name was Daniel Bradshaw, who I've ended up putting on the bench. In the middle, the ruckman was actually quite hard as well, because I think Oscar McInerney is right up there in terms of our best ruckman that we've had on the list as well. You could also make the argument for Matthew Leuenberger, who was a very handy ruckman, probably didn't play enough for us, and injury let him down, as it did with Jamie Charman, who I ended up landing on as our starting ruckman. I think, generally speaking, across the last 20-odd years, talent-wise and effectiveness, I think Jamie Charman was probably the best ruckman we've had on our list. But like I said, I think Oscar McInerney could really challenge for that position as well. Clark Keating as well. Obviously, he was our premiership ruckman in the early years. And that's what we remember him for, just hoiking the ball forward in all of those premierships. But across the years, probably just didn't quite do enough to really land himself the spot, as like he was known as a timber specialist for a reason. So I've landed on JC. I'm not 100% sure on it. Again, there's a couple of positions where I'm a bit sort of iffy on it. Lockie Neal and Simon Black as your followers there as well. So that middle is looking pretty good. Jamie Charman tapping it down to Michael Voss, Lockie Neal and Simon Black. That's 4 Brownlow medals across your midfield right there. And then another one on the half-forward flank and Acca as well. On the bench, Luke Power, Tim Notting, Daniel Bradshaw and Sean Hart. Obviously, Bradshaw started as a back, moved forward. Did the old switcheroo with Leppage, so he's got a bit of versatility there, as does Possum Notting and Sean Hart and Lukey Power, your sort of halfbacks, wingman, could play forward as well. And the sub, I've gone for Mitch Robinson just because, well, funny. I think any team that has Mitch Robinson as the sub to come in at any point and just run amok, whether it be the third quarter, fourth quarter, I think that was just more funny points than skill points or footy points there. I just like the idea of Mitch Robinson being our sub. You know, there's obviously heaps of unlucky players to miss out. Basically no one from 08 to 2016. You could have made the argument for Dane Beams and Tom Rockliffe, who were probably our better players across those lean years. Ultimately, they lost out because of dickhead points. Dane Beams probably just didn't play enough for us as well. Like, didn't play 100 games for the Lions. Tom Rockliffe, I mean, he was never going to bust into that midfield. And yeah, just those two were probably the better players that missed out skill-wise, but missed out for various reasons. So, like I said, I'll check this up on social so you can all have a look at it, pick it apart, make any changes you'd want to make. And next week when Patrick joins me again for the season review, I'll put it to him and see what he makes of it, because I'm sure he'll have some strong opinions and the changes he would make as well. I'd be very keen to get your thoughts on the key forward and the ruck position especially, and perhaps a couple of those, maybe that position Daryl White's got in the halfback, and maybe even Brandon Stasevic, I wasn't 100% sold on them, I was sort of 80, 90% sold on those positions. So I'm sure people have got their thoughts. I'd love to hear them on any of our social pages or join in the Discord as well. You can always send through an email at blfancast@gmail.com. All right, well, that's our update for the moment. Just a quick little podcast to keep things afloat until we come back. Next week, Patrick's going to come back, and we're going to be doing a season review of the men's competition for 2023. Have a bit of a chat about any trade or free agency news that has come across over the next week or so, and any other stories we feel like are worth chatting about. But until then, just go about your business. Try not to think about the grand final. That's what I've been doing, even though I've just reminded you about it. And enjoy the ladies. They'll be taking on the Suns. 4 o'clock Saturday at Heritage Bank Stadium. So if you make the game, go do that. Until then, next home game in a couple of weeks against the ladder leading Crows, which will be hopefully a cracking game.
But I do want to leave you on one thing. You little beauty!